What is the slope? Huh? 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Mukam karoti. Okay. Text 1, chapter 34. Of the 10th canto. Shisuku vacha ekada deva yatrayam gopala chata kotukaha anobir anadud yuktai prayusus te ambika vanam. Shishuku vacha ekada deva yatrayam gopala jata kotuka anobir anadud yuktai prayayus te pikam vanam. Sisuku vacha ekada deva yatrayam gopala jata kotuka anobir anadud yuktai prayayus te mbika vanam. Ekada yatada trayam nipala jata kotuka anobir anadud yuktai prayayus tembikavanam. Shishuka uvacha ekada deva yatrayam gopala jata kotuka anobir anudud yuktai prayasus tembikavanam. Shishuka uvacha ekada yatadenayam gopala jata kotukam anobir anadad yuktai prayayus tembikavanam. Ekada divayatrayam Gopala Jatakotukai Anobir Anadudyuktai Prayayustembikavanam. Lady Cha Ekada Deva Yatrayam Gopala Jatakotukai Anobir Anadudyuktai Prayayustembikavanam Shishuka Uvacha. Shishukadeva Goswami said, Ekada, once, Deva, to worship the demigod Lord Shiva, Yatrayam, on a trip, Gopala, the cowherd man, Jatakotukai, eager, Anobi, with wagons, Anadu, to oxen, Yuktai, yoked, Prayayu, went north, Te, they, Ambika Vanam, to the Ambika forest. Sukadeva Goswami said, one day the cowherd men, eager to take a trip to worship Lord Shiva, traveled by bullock carts to the Ambika forest. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word ekada here indicates the occasion of Shiva Ratri. He further mentions that Ambikavana is in Gujarat province near the city of Siddhapur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that the departure of the cowherd men specifically took place on the 14th lunar day of the dark fortnight of the month of Phalguna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also quotes the authorities who claim that Ambikavan lies on the bank of the Saraswati River northwest of Mathura. Ambikavan is notable because within it are deities of Lord Shiva and his wife, goddess Uma. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunath Tandritam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desa Tarane Mancha Kalpa Chiruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Trishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langaya Tegirim Tat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dina Tarane. Krishna Todiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Ajayva me isatu manasaraja hansan prana praname samaye kapavata pittai kantavaro danavido smaranam kutaste. So it's a tough one. Someone asked me the other day, you know, it says we shouldn't worship the demigods, but then we see here the coward men are going to worship Lord Shiva. How do you explain that? I can't remember the exact question they had, but there's many things that appear contradictory, but they can always be worked out by remembering Krishna's inconceivable potencies. But the Vrijvasis, they honor the demigods. It's not like they're thinking that Shiva's, they know Vishnu. As far as Krishna, they just love Krishna. They don't think of him as a supreme lord. So they worship the demigods to protect Krishna. And of course, Shiva is very dear to Krishna. Krishna is very dear to Shiva. And the gopis worship Devi Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband. So they were really focused on Krishna. But for us, we're not so advanced. There was a case, Giriraj Swami first went to Madras, I think. There was one man, he was a big Shaivite, and Giriraj visited him many times, but he, no matter how he tried, he couldn't, you know, convince him of Krishna's supreme position. Then Prabhupada came, and they talked, and then of course, he'd be more respectful to Prabhupada than he was to Giriraj. You know, a young American boy, naturally he'd think, what can he know about it? But he asked, can't somebody worship Lord Shiva for spiritual reasons? Prabhupada said, it's possible, but it's not happening. Most of the people that worship Lord Shiva, almost all of them, it's just for material gain. They want power, they want wealth, you know. They want the blessings of his wife, who's a controller of the material nature. So the man then, he couldn't argue with that. So I don't think he accepted that Krishna is superior, but so we focus, when we worship Krishna and do anything for Krishna, it covers all the demigods. But we can't neglect the demigods. When I first met devotees, I didn't know anything, but I heard Krishna is blue. And at that time they had some of these, in the hippie shops, they had these posters from India and Krishna. There's only a few of them. There was Krishna the Gopal with the cow, and there was universal form. That's all I could. And I found one. He's a very beautiful person looking like a yogi in blue color. So I thought, you know, I had that in my van and I was chanting. The devotees came and, Shiva, get that Shiva out of here. No, we can't worship Shiva. I said, I thought it was Krishna, you know, I didn't. Shiva's not blue, but they make him blue. They even have baby Shiva now, and posters, and to compete with Krishna. And there's a baby Shiva lying in the snow on top of the mountain, and then there's blue Shiva, but Shiva is white, just kind of, right? With a blue neck on, just one line. But he's a great devotee, so it's possible. It's also mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you think she was different from Krishna, that's an offense also. But you have to understand that. That's like the guru is not different than Krishna. If we think he's different, then that's offensive. But if we think he's exactly the same, it's also wrong. It's saksadari trina samasta shastra. So we treat it the same way. So we honor the demigods, and if we, you know, we think we're supposed to go to Shiva, Gopeshwara, Shiva and Vrindavan, when we get to, I never knew that until recently, but when we first get to Vrindavan, Prabhupada didn't teach us that, but that's the tradition, so that you can get permission to go to Vrindavan properly and worship. He's a protector. If you go into Puri, you're supposed to go to Bhuvaneshwar first, get permission from Shiva. Because he's a protector, he's protecting Krishna. And around Navadvipa, there's Panchanan, there's different Shivas who are protectors of the Dham. But the Dham is Krishna's place. Shiva comes there. Shiva, when he heard Krishna was born, he came to Vrindavan, he wanted to see Krishna. So he disguised himself as a sadhu. But when he entered Vrindavan, he couldn't keep the disguise. He looked like Shiva again, wild, you know, snakes. And he came up to the house, and Mother Yasoda came to the door, and she, no, 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 you can't see my baby. And my baby will get scared. And Shiva was very unhappy. He begged, and she gave him a big plate full of jewels and gold or something. Of course, he didn't care for that. So he went away, and he was kind of hiding somewhere and lamenting. And then Krishna just started crying all the time. So they were trying everything to pacify, you know, like mothers do. Sometimes you just can't pacify. Prabhupada said that's just the difficulty of being a baby, you know, can't communicate. So that, you know, a bug is biting the baby's leg, and everybody's feeding him and, you know, petting him and bouncing him and singing, and but the bug is still biting, and he just keeps crying, you know. He's trying to say, there's a bug biting my leg, but it just comes out. So somebody said, maybe you offended a saintly person. So they remembered. So they went looking for Lord Shiva, and they found him. And he said, please come. And then they let him hold the baby, and then Krishna became very, very happy. So that's the relationship. But we know that Krishna is, you know, the supreme. So, and then in this purport, it's Jiva Goswami says this, Ambikavan is one place, and Vishnu says it's another place. So there's probably two of them. And then we don't know which one they went to. Right? But from Vrindavan to Gujarat, it's really far. So probably they went to the one in Mathura, but, you know, we can't say for sure. And because otherwise they'd be gone a long time then. But so they go for Shivaratri. They, you know, we go out, we have Shivaratri also. In Mayapur, we all go. Is that there's a Shiva there at the Jagannath Mandir that was there, you know, for who knows how long. I was at the eco village, and I was walking far away, and I found a Katyayani temple. And in it, they had Vyasadeva and Hanuman and Garuda and Sankarshan, separate little rooms. Then a devotee told me that deity was there when they got the land. It's very old deity, and you know, it was kind of broken down, fallen over. So they fixed up the temple and
put her in there nicely and put the Bhagavatam about the gopis worshipping Katyayani. And that was their tapasya to get Krishna. Tapasya is non-different. Nowadays, I see some things come on the internet about, you know, the young people today, they're just so babies, you know. You have to, if they cry, the parents give them everything, you know. It used to be that, I don't know India, but in America, that if a boy didn't do good in school, the parents would get mad at the kid, you know. Now they go to the school and scream at the teacher. What? Why isn't my child getting straight A's? What's wrong with you, you know? My poor baby. They don't, so that, but there are some who take up. And so if we want spiritual advice, tapasya is the wealth of the brahmanas. You know, the devotees like tapasya. There's going to be, you can't have a, Prabhupada said a preacher shouldn't expect an easy life. You know, because there's so many things go wrong. Radhana Swami gave a very good example. It's like if you're in the prison, if you behave really nicely and never complain, don't make any trouble, you know, it's not so bad. It's bad, but you might get a good job in the library or something, you know. Get out early. But if you, and nobody pays much attention to. But if you try to escape from, if you escape from the prison, if you try to escape, you know, if you're inside the prison and then thousands of guards come with guns and, you know, look in. And if someone does escape, it's in the news all over the country. Look for this person. And so when we try to get out, when we're in Maya, it doesn't seem so bad sometimes. You know, we're enjoying a little bit. We get sick once in a while, but, you know, I got friends and money and I can party. And but when you try to get out of Maya, then she gets mad and then she attacks. What are you doing? You know, this is, you're wasting your life. You're stupid. You know, how can you believe in this Krishna? Someone asked me, it was a Chinese mother. Someone can tell me how to answer this. Her son is in junior high school. In Chinese school, so that's atheistic or Buddhist, you know, whatever. Mostly atheist. So he's saying, this Krishna you worship is not real. It's just made up, you know. And these books you're reading, they're just not written by anybody. That's really, I don't know how they come. If they weren't written by anyone, then they would be really mystical and spiritual. So she wondered what to say to him. Because you want to try to explain it. I said, well, Prabhupada's way of dealing with these people that say Krishna's not God would say, well, you prove that. And they want to say, can you prove Krishna's God? You say, well, you prove he's not God. They can't do that. It doesn't mean they're going to accept that he is, but they're going to give up their... Actually, that's the best way to argue is by asking questions about what they're presenting. Because mostly they can't explain what they're talking about. They only argue. How do they say it? Like, we listen not to hear, but just to reply. So that's why Prabhupada said, give them a book. Because then they might say, well, okay, I gave some money. Let me see what this is. So they look at it with a little bit submissive. But if I'm trying to tell you about Krishna, you're thinking how you're going to argue. It's automatic. happens to me all the time, even with disciples. You know, I'm trying to say something, and halfway through the sentence, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. I say, well, what's right? And they'll say, well, and they'll say exactly what I said. And I say, that's what I said. Oh, I didn't hear you. If you didn't hear me, why are you arguing and telling me I'm wrong? See? Because that's just what we do. And it's not very good communication. Creates up to world wars and all kinds of things. So life will not be so easy. This place, we can understand what Prabhupada went through just for this one project. No matter where he was in the world, for 6 years or 7 years, he had to deal with this, all the things happening. So many things were going wrong. At the same time, he had to come down every day and give great classes and be completely friendly with all kinds of people he met and write all night. It's amazing. So, it's a question. But that, Bhaktivinoda said that the trouble I take for Krishna, that's my great pleasure. Just like a mother with a baby. There's so much trouble. People don't realize, you know. Even the pregnancy for a couple months, it gets sick all the time in the morning. And it's heavy and then the child, you know, keeps him up all night for a few years. Then you have to do so many things to raise a child. That's why we're supposed to honor the mother. Nowadays in ISKCON, I don't know here, but they don't know what Mataji means. They think it means the female body, right? Another one came from China. He said, there's one young boy, he's not even initiated. And he's saying, I am Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So Mataji, you do what I tell you. You do this, you do this. You should do this for me. You should serve me. Because he learned that Prabhu means master. He didn't learn that Mataji means, oh, most respected mother. You know, and I see the Indian boys, no, I don't know a few, but they like to say Mataji, right? Mataji, move over. Mataji, Swami's coming. Mataji, get out of the way. Mataji, do this. I don't know if you do that to your mother, right? Might be a little more nice, but this is something happens, and we have international society, and people don't understand. We should think of everyone else as Prabhu, but not that I am Prabhu. So if you're saying, Prabhu's over here, that's me. Sometimes they don't know what that means. They just think it means men. But then they hear that it means master, because it's a common word in all the scripture. Sometimes it's used for Krishna. Anyway, about tapasya, this is Prabhupada. We cannot expect a favorable situation. It is not possible. And all kinds of people tell, don't wait for the situation to be perfect before you do something, because it'll never happen. You know. When I came to America, I never expected a favorable situation. I wrote that poetry in disappointment. Who will accept this? That is a position. By Krishna's grace, gradually it will become a favorable situation. But don't expect any favorable situation. You have to handle unfavorable situation, make favorable situation to preach. That is preaching. Any business. So Nityananda Prabhu, he went to approach Jagai and Madai. There was no favorable situation. They were drunkards. They caused injury on the body of Nityananda Prabhu. So this is preaching with only an unfavorable situation. You cannot expect favorable situation. And still you have to preach. That is preaching. They will speak like madmen so many things. They are mad after all. Nunam pramatak kurute vikarna. 554. Rishabdev. They have no sense. All materialist persons are madmen. Still, by the order of the superior Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to do this preaching work. Actually, the American boys are fighting against so many unfavorable situations. They are sometimes beaten in the airport. You know that? That happened to me. One guy just bam and knocked me right over. Quite a few devotees at it, things like that. They just get up and keep going. The unfavorable situation, so let me give it up, quote, unquote. That is not preaching. Yes, we must know that there are unfavorable situations. Still, I have to. That depends on your brain, how to tackle. You cannot expect a favorable situation. There was another one where he said, here's another one. You have to question what devotional activity will cause one to become intimate with Krishna. That's a good question, right? Anybody ever think of that? You want to be intimate with Krishna? Right? Anybody? You want to be? Who would like to be intimate with Krishna? Intimate. What are you doing here then? That's what it's all about. Love of Krishna means intimacy. We want to love Krishna. Krishna already loves us. That's not the problem. Krishna loves us already, but we have to love him. Prabhupada, you have to spend or waste gallons of blood before you can convert a person to Krishna consciousness. It is so difficult. Gallons of blood waste by talking with him, with the rascal and foolish. You tax your brain and spoil your energy, blood. Unless you are not a preacher, you should be prepared. They sacrifice life. What to speak of wasting blood, wasting life. This is preacher. Then he's recognized by Krishna. He has done so much for me. He's going to die for Krishna. Therefore, he is recognized. You become immediately very dear to Krishna. Your business is how to become very intimate with Krishna. That will be served by preaching. And preaching is book distribution, preaching. Preaching means teaching. And not only in India, now everywhere, the word preaching is not well received. Because other religions, in the name of preaching, they're really not very nice. And they're tricky, they're cheating, they're promising so many things, and harassing. You see these Christian preachers in America, you'll go to hell, you're going to burn. You know, of course, that is in the Bhagavatam, but that's not what we present to the public, like right off, you know, in a public lecture. If you don't give up meat eating, you're all going to go to hell. I mean, you know, you have no chance. No, we tell them if you chant Hare Krishna, if you chant the holy name, if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can go to Krishna. You can be with Krishna. But then we have to tell, they want to know who is Krishna. So we tell them about Krishna. We have a say of it. Prabhupada was looking at one book and he saw the pictures. He said, I think that artists are the best book distributors. These people really like the pictures. So this is, you know, maybe it doesn't sound good to everybody, but a devotee knows. And this, anywhere, if you want to win the Olympics, you want to hit the most, what do you call them in cricket? You have to practice a lot. You have to suffer. You have to give up a few parties, you know. You can't. I heard Muhammad Ali, he said, I trained 4 months before a fight. And they asked him, what's the hardest thing about training? He said to stay away from the women. Because that'll drain all your energy. He said, and it's really hard for me because I'm very good looking and they like me. And of course he's rich and famous. But that's, to give up that attraction to, you know, for a higher goal. He wanted to be the champion. So we want to go to Krishna and to give up the material pleasures, which are not really pleasures, because they're suffering. For every material pleasure, there's well, not even equal and opposite, sometimes much more suffering. Even in the body, when they look at the nerves, there's much more nerves for pain than for pleasure. Pain is... One devotee got in a big car accident on the way to Vrindavan and broke so many bones. And then they were in the hospital, and then after a few days, the doctor said, "So we're going to take you off the painkillers." I said, "I didn't know I was on painkillers. It was just," he said, I always heard you can't enjoy all the time, but I learned you can suffer all the time. Of course, at a certain point, somehow they rise above it, but there's so much more things to cause us pain. And most of the pleasures that people think is pleasure in the mature world, it causes pain. We went on a Harinam and Mira Road, and we turned one corner, and then the first thing was three really shiny liquor places. Liquor shop and a drinking place with all these bottles displayed outside, and beautiful lights, you know, and a very expensive bottles, and had some name, like really attractive name, I can't remember. But drinking causes distress, much more distress than pleasure. The pleasure is very quick, and so then they have all these cures for the hangover. The next day, you wake up, terrible feeling. But they don't think about that while they're drinking. Think, because if you can become stupid, you forget your, you know, work and your problems. But you wake up with new, more problems, and if they continue it, then they come up with all kinds of diseases, or you smash the car, or you get arrested, you know, all kinds of, are violent. So many things happen. That's just one example. All the things that they're promoting as pleasure cause pain. Even to produce them is so troublesome. So you want to hear that verse from the fifth canto? Lord Rishabhdev. It's a very good series of verses, actually. Lord Rishabhdev's teaching to his sons. Don't take the pleasure of the dogs and dog eat, cow hogs, the dog eating hogs and dogs, stool eating. Deho bhajan, that these pleasures can be gotten in any species of life, and we want Krishna. Nunam pramatak kurute pikarma yadindriya pritaya aprinoti nasadu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshada asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, what Krishna says about the demons, right? They consider sense gratification to be the whole purpose of life, the goal of life. He certainly becomes mad. That means insane. Not exactly angry, but insane. After materialistic living, and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on the material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again and again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So the idea is we have this body which is suffering, so then we somehow get convinced by Maya that sense gratification will relieve that suffering, not knowing that that suffering is because of sense gratification. Prabhupada always was able to explain things in a very simple way and take advantage of every, whatever happens. So the opening of Krishna Balaram Temple, the first class Prabhupada gave was in the evening. So he asked for Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Devotees started running around, but nobody could find one. So he said, all right, give me the Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, we'll read chapter 9. If you read chapter 9, you'll become free from envy. So I thought, I read chapter 9 a lot. Maybe something's happening, I haven't perceived. Anyway, there was a fan, if you've been to Vrindavan, right up there. And it was going chonka 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 chonk. So devotees started running around trying to turn it off. But the temple was brand new. Nobody knew what was going on. It's pretty weird that the switches for the fans, are, you have to open the door to the pujari room and go back there. And then, so somebody finally found it. And then Prabhupada said, so we think that because I have a fan, I'm not suffering from the heat. Everything is all right. But actually, we have the fan because we're suffering. Right? So that just goes on and on and on. You know, I don't have to worry about sickness because there's so many pharmacies. Right? So many hospitals. I heard there's a really big hospital near here now. Was it? You know, they're everywhere. Apollo Hospital. People that have medical tourism for India now. People come to India just for the hospital. It's cheaper. And it's cheaper to fly in India and stay in a 5-star hotel and get your dental work done than to do it in America. So, or Europe. But why do we have so many hospitals? I went to the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. It was so crowded. You know, just packed, people everywhere, and not enough chairs, everybody just waiting, and, you know, on every floor, everywhere you go, in every department. And then we think this is such a wonderful place. They told me that we're the only hospital, we pray that the patients won't have to come back, you know, that they won't get sick again. And other hospitals they don't think like that. So their hospitals become very popular because they get spiritual care and, you know, the doctors are devotees and they actually care about them. So, but this material world is just such a place, and the very thing that's caused us to be suffering, we think will get us out of this. And that doesn't work that way. Sometimes there are, you know, properly utilized. Like if you get sick from eating too much sweet rice, you can take some yogurt with salt and pepper or something. It's not very tasty, but it will help the dysentery, you know. So the dairy product that caused the problem and used a different way can solve it. But then if you take too much of that, you'll have another problem. So, that's the law of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's karma. So, but sometimes it seems like much more reaction. You know, try to enjoy, and the results will be temporary. So Bhagavad Gita says that wise man, he doesn't engage in the contact of the senses with the objects of the senses, because he knows that it's temporary. So what's the use of it? So he looks for the permanent, which is spiritual. We might not, we get some idea by chanting, and we have to have faith, see how, you know, others have made progress. And all throughout history, even now, recently, always in ISKCON now, we have people leaving their body and very blissfully and happy and surrounded by devotees. Children coming into the world and surrounded by kirtan, and, you know, they get a good start in life. They get a good end in life. It proves that power in the parampara. So things are going nicely. We have to remember Prabhupada, keep a humble state of mind. I just went to Ujjain, Bhaktichara Swami's Vyaspuja. Now, he didn't really want to have Vyaspuja, so he made it, for himself. So he made it 3 days Prabhupada festival, actually 3.5, and then just a few hours for his. And that's the way we have to be. We have to remember, you know, everything is handed down by, from, of course, the whole parampara, but Prabhupada was especially empowered to give it to the whole world, to give us books that, you know, are relevant to this modern, insane world. You know? People can, we recommend Lilamrita or something for people because they can relate to it. New York City, Bombay, you know, Delhi, Paris, London. You know, they got some idea. These are real places, you know. And these are real people Prabhupada's meeting. A lot of the people were well-known people, worldwide well-known people. Lord Chaitanya, you know, and Krishna, you know, Agasura, Bulmasura, you know, Bakasura. And, you know, all these things, it requires more faith. So Prabhupada said that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. They don't believe, they think that mythology. Even in that movie, Little Krishna, right in the beginning it says this is mythology. You know, whoever made it was afraid to tell the public this is real, you know, this Krishna is a real person. This is mythology. So they're thinking by saying it's mythology, maybe more people will watch it. But no, they didn't. They just think, oh, it's another cartoon superhero. There's so many of them, right? Japan, there's so many superheroes. The biggest famous superhero in Japan, I think he's still there. He's like one of the first ones. Called Ultraman. It's an English word. Ultra, Supreme Man. The robot. And that's the idea that we're going to perfect robots that'll do everything, and you'll just be able to enjoy all the time. They'll do all the work. They even have a temple in Kyoto. A temple of the goddess Katyayani, or not Katyayani, Kuan Yin is a Japanese name, Kanon, like the cannon, like the cameras, the goddess of mercy. So normally you see with thousand arms and like the universal form, but she's mercy. And is it supposed to be a Buddha? Nobody's sure if it's male or female. Anyway, they have this robot. And the face and this part all looks exactly like a person. And she gives like a 20-minute lecture on Buddhism. Perfectly. But the arms are all like erector sets, you know. Japanese just say, oh yeah, foreigners get a little put off by it. That's the idea. The Ultraman is a robot. He's better than any human being. The most technologically advanced is the topmost evolution. But this technology is making so much trouble. No matter what somebody makes, new technology advancement that they think can help the world, somebody just makes a bomb out of it or something else. Right? Like Einstein. He thought, we'll get this atomic power and it'll just be so wonderful for the world. It can. What did the people do the first thing? They make bomb. They haven't really used it yet for anything else, except producing electricity, which is very dangerous. But almost every big country has so many atomic bombs. They're afraid to use them. That's why they keep making new ones, because they have these old ones and they have them on rockets, and but they don't know if the rocket's going to work, so they're afraid to try it. So they make a new one where they're more confident. Then they're afraid of the reaction and what's going to happen when they use it. But they can't destroy the planet, but they can make a big mess and they can create a lot of fear and anxiety. But the only hope is the Sankirtan movement. Only Krishna is more powerful than all these demons. The demons today, we go back to Hiranyakasipu or Ravana. The same mentality is there. Jayadvaita gave a class to New Jain and all about all the things that are going on in the world that are considered like terrible crisis. It's exactly what Hiranyakasipu told his agents to do. Go to Earth, destroy the agricultural fields, you know, destroy the forest, kill the cows, kill the Brahmins. It's going on and you know, pollute the water. They do all these things. It's going on in a big way. And we've been aware of it for a long time, but you just can't stop it by any material endeavor. When I was young, I became a little idealistic. I read a lot of books, and there were two famous books. One was called Silent Spring, about how all the pollution that's going into all the water. So few people knew about it. It was a best-selling, but then it was another, the Waste Makers, you know. America is still, I think, the world champion of garbage, you know, per person. They're the world champion of many things, but India has defeated them in something, but only because of more population. You know, you can be proud now, India is the number one beef exporter and leather exporter and whiskey consumer. I heard also ice cream. They eat the most ice cream. They're the most people, so it's not so hard. America has the most people in prison fighting crime. Produces more crime. Prisoners go to the prison, they meet other prisoners, they think, now I know how to do it better. And then the most cancer, the most heart attacks, the most unwed mothers, so many things they champion. And the most military expense. So we want to, only Krishna can win, only Krishna could kill Hiranyakasipu, only Ram could kill Ravana. The demigods had no chance. And we have no chance to defeat these rich men who are controlling the most of the wealth in the world, and a few people, very few people. And everyone else is just working and borrowing money and believing that this I can buy something that will make me happy. Right? So devotees have understood to some extent, but we have to fully act on it and just put focus. You know, it isn't going to be easy to get to the topmost planet in the universe, and not only outside in the spiritual universe, but we can go there by doing a tapasya. give up the false ego. Preach. Don't expect that everybody's going to love you. Most people reject you. I saw that always on book distribution. You know, the devotees who distributed the most books, they talked to the most people. They moved fast. They didn't waste time. Other times it's easy to somebody, you know, a couple of people just tell you, get out of here, nobody likes this, you know, you're stupid, you're wasting your time, you're being cheated, you know. Or somebody gives a big donation, pats you on the back, tells you it's really great what you're doing.
Yeah.
Then the next 500 people just get out of here. As soon as we become puffed up, so it's purifying, trying to preach, and building to maintaining temples. Everything is for preaching, and pujari work is not so easy. One of my godbrothers, he was a pujari for a long time in the manor. I never saw him when I was there, except going in and out of the altar. But he got up, you know, he wouldn't do his service till he finished 16 rounds, and his service is to wake the deities. I mean, it's 3:30, he had to, 4 o'clock, get to work. And then all day, he was serving the deities. Well, he also memorized a lot of slokas. But, you know, it's not easy. The pujari work is not easy. I know, like, we have some donors in Japan. They've been here. You know, they've been to Chopari, they've been to Karga, they've been to many temples. And they think pujaris offer arts. And they give out some flowers or charyamritas. They don't know what's going on behind. They want the altar there to look like this with 2 or 3 pujaris. They don't know how many pujaris live upstairs and how many come from outside. How many women are making garlands, you know. It's very hard to explain. No, it's... told one the pujari is really hard. He said, he was saying, the pujari, after they finish the morning, you know, waking, dressing, then they can go and distribute book. But they have to be back for noon arti. That means clean clothes and shower and the whole trip and be there at 11 o'clock or something. Or maybe they have to cook it, you know, and then they have to clean up after that. And then they can go, you know, they have to chant the rounds sometime. They have to read, you know, they don't understand. No problem. They just, you know, they only saw them, you know, waving the sticks, and that's the easiest part. So thank you very much. We have a big mission here, Bombay. It's just incredible how many devotees there are and what the potential is. I don't know if any of you went to the Kirtan Mela and the temple, you couldn't get in, you couldn't get out, you know, in the evening. Just packed, and they kept coming. So that I went up on the balcony, and that got packed out gradually. Just kept coming until 11 o'clock. So this is going on all over Bombay, all over India, and more all over the world. But not here is a great Prabhupada. But it all started from here, this temple. And in the beginning, nobody came. I was here, and they didn't come. Gradually, they liked the restaurant. They started coming. More and more people started. Because devotees went out and preached, and going downtown, and they didn't have cars, and they had, you know, three-wheelers. I take the train. I used to take the train down to Bombay for life member. I guess we got a ride to the station. I can't remember how we got to the station. But and the trains, you know, the local trains are not the most luxurious rides. But and devotees did that for a long time, you know, getting people to support and donate and counteract all the attacks and cheating contractors. When we opened the guest house, a lot of the light switches didn't work because they didn't put the wires in. They just put the fixture in the switches because they had the money, so they figured they don't have to do the work. And they keep building everything. So you're all here. You get a little more. It's quite luxurious now. We have mosquito nets and fans and electricity, you know, and water, bottled water, and things they didn't have then. So comments? What are your comments? What are your questions? If you'd like to share your experience of trying to enjoy the material. That's why we're here. We had some realization. Most devotees tell the same story. Whatever they were doing, whether they were very successful, had a good job, whether they were just down and out, they just couldn't see any reason to keep pursuing material happiness. And then that can be very frustrating, but by Krishna's mercy, we meet devotees. And by Krishna's mercy, devotees go out and try to catch us. So to be grateful. Okay, thank you. Anything? Quiet today? Okay, good. Does that mean, you know, I just knocked you out, or everything's fine, and everybody's going to run out and chant the holy name? One thing, that mridanga, you know, it has a nice cushion on the strap. I saw that he wasn't using it, you know. It's on his back, but you should put it here, because those mridangas are heavy, and it's not good for your body. You got to cushion that. You know, if you get a backpack, it has really opulent cushions, but sometimes not as heavy as the mridanga, which you're cutting. Please be careful. We want you to live long and not lose the use of your arm or something. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari. If anybody wants to have a private question, you can come.